Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Get the story from Vegas. He's the voice of Duck Hoops, Duck Basketball, host of Duck Insider, our partner on the Oregon Football Pregame. Follow along on Twitter. The handle's at Joey McMurray. Spell it right. MCMURRY. Either way, Joey Mack. How you doing?
I'm great, Steve. Coming to you live from the MGM Grand. You got the casino music and hopefully some jackpots in the background.
Yeah, hopefully your jackpots. So let's say the game ended last night. You did your post game. You're walking around Vegas and somebody just walked up to you on the street and said, "What the heck was that?" How would you respond?
I would have quoted our good friend Bill Walton and said it was one of the top five ugliest wins in the history of Oregon basketball. It was funny. That was how Kevin McKenna described it on the postgame show with us last night. You know, it wasn't what I expected. I expected it to be a little more of a comfortable win for Oregon, but I thought that the guys were a little tight. That was something that both Dana Altman today had brought up with me and Kevin McKenna mentioned. You know, they said that, yeah, they were a little bit tight. And, you know, I hope that maybe now they've gotten those jitters out and that tightness out, because they can't do that against an experienced veteran team like Utah. They've got a bunch of guys on the roster. They start four seniors that have all been through this before, whereas Oregon's got Peyton Pritchard. He's the only one who's been through this tournament before. So I think that that's probably how I would describe it. It was definitely an odd one. It didn't go Oregon's way in a lot of facets, but, you know, they found a way to win. And, Steve, there's been seven games this year where the Ducks have lost by single digit after they've had an opportunity to win the game in under four minutes to play. So a lot of times this year, the Ducks lose a game like the one last night, but they found a way. So maybe that's a good sign for the Ducks moving forward.
Now, I didn't catch much of what Altman said after the game. He had a brief chat with Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 Network. And you've been around him a lot, obviously. And this might sound odd, but considering they just won a Pac-12 tournament game, have you ever seen a coach so disappointed after a victory?
You know, I have. I've seen it probably more this year than I can count, because he's, especially in a lot of those non-conference games, you know, he was a little disappointed in how everything was going and how the Ducks were handling things. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're winning the game. But that's kind of the way that he is. He always is about the development, I think, is the number one thing that sticks out with Coach Altman. And so, yeah, I have seen a coach, I think, that's been like that, because that's kind of his way of doing things. I mean, if the Ducks played a perfect game, I still think Dana Altman would have something that he thinks they could improve on. He's a true coach's coach in that way.
No, that's a good point. Just his body language, I said earlier, if you just watched and were able to edit out certain words, you would have been like, that team lost. It was unbelievable. Continue with Joey Mack in Vegas. He'll be calling game two tonight. Troy Brown couldn't throw it in the ocean, but man, did he make some big plays. Game-high 11 rebounds, 4 steals, tenacious on defense. Your thoughts on a young guy who did not let his struggles in one area detract from making an important contribution?
I thought that was big because, you know, honestly, it's happened a few times this year where Troy Brown Jr. has not shot the ball well. I can think of 3 games off the top of my head, including last night, where, you know, Brown Jr. did not shoot the ball very well, but yet he rebounded well, or he forced 4 turnovers. I mean, he's had a few games like that, and this matchup last night, if he doesn't get that rebound after Peyton Pritchard misses 2 free throws and it runs some time off the clock and Oregon keeps possession and then he hits free throws after that, I mean, if he doesn't make that play, I'm not sure Oregon wins the game.
Nope.
But I thought that was a huge, huge contribution from Troy Brown Jr. He had 8 rebounds in the first half. You know, he is that kind of player where he'll rebound even if he's not shooting well. And I do think, though, that's the next level in his development, is he's going to have to find a way to be a little more consistent shooting, especially downtown. I think that's sort of the next development point for Troy Brown Jr.
I was going to say, do you mean downtown three-point land or downtown Vegas at Fremont? No, I'm only kidding. Joey, a number that pops off that stat sheet last night, 8 of 18 from the line. Even Shaq was like, come on, guys. The coaches, the players, I mean, what did they have to say? Because that's an aberration that could have easily cost them the game.
Yeah, and it was similar, honestly, to the Arizona game at McHale and also the UCLA game at Pauly. The Ducks, they've had a few games this year where they've had that sort of outlier in free throw percentage. I mean, if they made one more free throw against UCLA, this could be a five-seeded team right now. I mean, that's what's kind of nutty with the whole season and how little things over the course of the season they add up, and that's one of them with the free throw shooting. It's the best free throw shooting team in the conference, and they couldn't hit anything at the free throw line. And, you know, Coach Altman and Coach McKenna talking to them yesterday and today, they both kind of chalked that up to nerves, and they thought that that was really what was going on at the free throw line. But, you know, against Utah, I think that's going to be huge because Utah is a team that doesn't necessarily block a lot of shots, but they have a lot of size inside. And so I feel like the Ducks are going to get to the free throw line, and Coach Altman wants them at the free throw line more than they've been at the free throw line this season because they're generally so good. So it's going to be another factor in tonight's matchup, definitely.
I think maybe we were spoiled last year because at crunch time, you had options. Dylan Brooks, Steely, Dorsey willing to take a shot, Ennis Bell, you know, the cast. But from your chair, or perhaps what the guys have said, be it waiting too late in the shot clock, settling for long ones, it seems at must-score times that this team struggles a bit.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think, to your point, they don't have the cast of last year where they've got the guy that they can just give the ball to him and he goes and makes a play. And frankly, Steve, I think that that's what Malachi Flynn was for Washington State last night. And that's what Bibbins and Collette at times have been for Utah in the next game. And, you know, Aaron Holiday has been that for Arizona. Ayton and Trier have been that for Arizona. And then UCLA for Holiday. I mean, there's so many players still in this tournament. I'm getting them all mixed up now on which team they're on. And, you know, but even a freshman in McKinley Wright has been that at times for Colorado. And so I just don't know that Oregon has that guy right now. I think a lot of fans assumed that it was going to be Peyton Pritchard, and he just hasn't been consistently the guy that can get to the hoop and score. Really, lately, it's been Mikhail McIntosh that's been the one that it's like, okay, you have to score here, and Mikhail McIntosh has been the guy that has made that happen. So I think you bring up a great point that Oregon doesn't have that guy. It's kind of been by committee, and, you know, maybe Pritchard becomes that guy. Maybe McIntosh is that guy now. I don't know, but you're right. I mean, there isn't that guy that they can just say, we need a shot. And that's what Malachi Flynn did for Washington State to keep them in the game and to keep them in the lead for much of the game. I mean, Oregon led for just over a minute the entire game and somehow found a way to win.
A couple final thoughts from Joey Mack. We're about 5 hours from tip-off. Ducks in Utah. So practice today, shoot around. I'd assume the mood is can't play much worse on offense. So what are you getting from the guys, maybe the theme, as they enter this one and try to get another win and keep those Big Dance hopes alive?
Yeah, they've talked a lot about how it's going to have to happen on the defensive end. And, you know, Coach Altman's really harped on that all season long. The Ducks have got to do better at the defensive end, and they've got to get stops. And, you know, the positive from last night is they did that. Kenny Wooten blocked two shots in big situations. Now, Dane Altman joked with him today that he'd like to see a shot blocked maybe before the 44th minute of the game from Kenny Wooten. But I think that he did step up, and the Ducks in general stepped up when they needed to get a stop. And I think that's going to be key against Utah as well. One thing to keep in mind, too, is David Collette rolled his ankle in the Saturday game. Oregon does not know how much he's going to play. And Steve, I'm sure you've made note of this, that Vegas actually has Oregon as the favorite in this game over the three-seed Utes. It's a little bizarre, and so I wonder if maybe Vegas knows something that the rest of us are still trying to figure out, is how much is Collette going to be able to go. And I think that that's going to be a huge key, too. If Oregon can get into the post, and either A, if Collette is not 100%, or B, if they can get him in foul trouble, that could go a long way for Oregon, because then they can go inside a little bit more against the Utes, because Utah killed Oregon in the paint when these two teams met. It was a while ago now, 2.5 months ago at Matthew Knight Arena. It's just weird with the way the schedule is set up. The one other thing that I'd mention for tonight is Oregon is undefeated when the Ducks commit less fouls than the opposition. I have a feeling that that's going to be a big focus for Utah, is to get the bigs for Oregon in foul trouble, because when Kenny Wooten is not on the floor, Oregon's defense is completely different. When Mikhail McIntosh, Paul White's in foul trouble, things are very different for Oregon. So I think that's really something to keep in mind. Oregon, again, undefeated when the Ducks commit less fouls than the opposition. So that's kind of my number one thing to watch is what the personnel looks like for Utah and if Oregon can stay out of foul trouble.
Well, you're in Vegas, and you might want to set up one of those booths for mind reading, because you kind of just answered my last question right there. So if this broadcasting thing doesn't work out, I got a second career for you. But I know you are kind of busy there and have a few things on your plate, but we appreciate you finding some time for us today, Joey. And hopefully you're not going to be getting on a plane for a couple days, and they could still hang around this thing. But we really appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Always love coming on with you, and I hope that I'm not flying home either, because the only flight that'll get me home in time to do Oregon baseball tomorrow leaves at 6 a.m. So cross your fingers for me personally also.
All right. Well, we're going to make this personal, Joey. Have a good one. Travel safe, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve. See ya.
All right. Take it easy.